Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim, and the topic of our podcast today is the serial killer Fritz Haarmann. He was a serial killer in Germany, and in between the years of 1919 and 1924, Mr. Haarmann was responsible for at least 24 murders, and he became known as the Butcher of Hanover. But before we talk about Mr. Haarmann's dastardly deeds, I want to introduce our panel. I'm very pleased and honored to introduce a very fine lady.
What the fuck?
A lady who is very charming, and who's always very ladylike. The Empress of Evil, the Mistress of the Macabre, Satan's Dirty Little Secret, Brandy.
That's more like it.
How are you, Brandy?
First of all, erectile dysfunction. You need to just keep your side silent for now. You've not been introduced. You do not get to speak.
She's got a point.
I'm well. I had to miss yesterday's broadcast, but I heard it was total shite.
No, it's very good. We when you're not here, we cover kind of intellectual.
No, you don't.
Highbrow things.
No, you don't. Because when I'm not here, all you do is sit and do a whole podcast on slamming on Brandy, and that's fine. That's
Full of compliments. You obviously didn't listen to it because it was we were praising you.
But do you see how she makes everything about her?
Oh yeah, it's a narcissistic behavior.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So still not introduced.
But let me introduce your colleague, and I know someone that you care a great deal about.
No.
That
guy is not here.
Well, you have to be impressed that the man has been knighted.
I'm not.
The very honorable, courageous, a man who is just an incredible human being.
No, I can go with that.
Bloody stool.
We're not allowed to say bloody stool anymore because he had some or something and he's scared.
So is my stepfather, not easy.
Okay, baby.
His stepfather, we're not allowed to talk about bloody stool.
What about erectile dysfunction? Is that still on the table?
Yeah, that's
or not.
I got something on the table for you.
Or not.
There it is.
No.
The very honorable Sir Colonel Reverend Charles Beauregard Hawkwaters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm lovely, Timmy. Gonna be better.
He can't even spell all those words in his name.
He has many titles.
Yeah.
But he can't spell them.
Here's a thought.
That's why he doesn't have a PhD.
Really? The only one?
Go out and do something good for humanity, and maybe you'll get a title, Scarecrow.
Yeah, because while you fuckers were sitting here slamming me, I was out doing something good for humanity. I was actually doing our real job.
We were praising you in our podcast.
We praised you.
I know better than that.
It was effusive is the word I'd use. Effusive.
That's bullshit.
He used that word yesterday.
I did.
And I'm calling shenanigans on the whole thing.
Well, why don't you listen to a goddamn podcast once in a while and you know what we said?
She doesn't even listen to the ones we did.
She doesn't even participate when she's doing them.
I do. I don't like the sound of my voice.
We don't like the sound of your voice.
I know.
Apparently the only people that like the sound of your voice is the vagina vigilantes.
Took a minute to get that out, didn't it? Good job.
Team Brandy you're referring to.
Team Brandy or the Mammary Mob or the Vagina Vigilantes, because you say one bad thing about the devil and they're all up and That's hint.
Hashtag. Hashtag cackling ends.
Yeah, hashtag cackling ends.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Okay, Colonel, do you have any shout-outs?
I do. I'd like to. I'm giving shout-outs to people who have formally announced and endorsed and are part of Team Colonel. They're probably being investigated by the FBI. Mm-hmm. NSA is looking at the cookies. Mm-hmm. But, of course, Kim Taylor. She's crazy in the loom, but she is on Team Colonel. Another one crazy, batshit crazy, is Allie on Team Colonel. Cindy Lou.
I never seen her say she was Team Colonel.
She says she was riding the fence, so I'm going to go with that.
Which means that she's not on Team Colonel.
Scott, of course. Somebody who just recently declared herself Team Colonel, Shannon Rossett, and Jennifer Burdick, all followers of the Colonel. And I don't have to have the largest group. I just have the smartest group.
Well, okay. Any other shout-outs?
Of course, I got Lady Beverly.
Okay. Lady Beverly, he's been very active this week on our
page.
Why
does he get all the shout-outs? Every shout-out he gets.
No, and, I'm just asking.
And of course, the lovely Dottie Scott.
And I have some shout-outs. I would like to give a shout-out to Chip, to Alicia, to Jim Martin, all for supporting us on Patreon. Thank you very much. To Laura and Nicola, who just had her first shout-out yesterday, a new member of the Facebook group. Nicola, thank you for joining us. And she said that she got... had the cherry pop yesterday in terms of...
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yes. She's probably Team Brandy because that was borderline inappropriate, so I figure she's borderline devil over here.
And I also like to give a shout-out to Elise and to Katchna. And Brandy, do you have any shout-outs before we get started?
Well, I'll give a shout-out to Charlie and Alan Dobbs, who I hope that Sarah Michelle Gellar dumps her husband and goes for you. Let's see. John White. Gene. Let's see. Jeff Chestnut. Elise. And Mary Ray, I got. And I don't think we've been on since I got my blanket. But thank you very much. Noah thinks it's our blanket that we get.
The History Dweebs blanket.
The History Dweebs
blanket. She's very talented.
Yes, she is very, very talented, and I love it. And as soon as it gets below 118 degrees here, I will snuggle up with it.
Oh, and I forgot. It's a warm. Trish Hillard.
Okay. Trisha Hillard. Yeah, Trisha's cool. She always listens to our podcast. Okay, so let's get into this topic, shall we, of The Butcher of Hanover. And that's Fritz Haarman. That's a cool name, Colonel Fritz.
Fritz.
Yeah. I wouldn't. You know what? Fritz always makes me think of a small, little, pointy nose thing. Kind of.
Isn't that considered a derogatory term for Germans, Fritz?
I don't believe so.
I thought that's what they were called.
I think you just made that up.
No, I think they were called Fritz during the First World War, weren't they? Fritz.
I've never heard that.
They were called Jerry during the Second World War.
That is very correct. And you've heard of the term Jerry rigging something?
Yes.
That comes from the derogatory term Jerry for Germans.
Yeah. But the Jerry rigging came from, do you know where that came from? When the German army got into Russia and they ran out of shit. And they had to put... See, once you start doing history where people might actually learn something, you lose the devil.
Yeah.
Now, you get into where people are pulling entrails out and everything else, and she's sitting over here in her tingly
parts. What about the Jerry curl? I want to know where that came from.
So, Colonel, you're saying that they had to rig things to get in the wartime?
Yeah.
Because
they ran out of supplies, so they had to MacGyver it.
Yeah. Fix Cliff.
So that's where the term jerry rigging comes from. Very good.
Jerry curl.
I wonder if gerrymandering comes from
that. What about Jerry Rice?
I like Jerry Rice.
Although I like Jerry Rice. I don't like rice much.
No. But Jerry.
I like rice pudding, though.
I don't like rice. I don't like rice-a-roni. I don't know why it's a San Francisco treat.
No, I don't know why it's a San Francisco treat either.
All right.
I never got that.
I know they used to give it away on those game shows all the time.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that and turtle wax. A year's supply of turtle wax.
I don't know. And what is a year's supply?
I don't know.
I think it's like two things of it, because turtle wax lasts forever.
Well, what if you want to wax your car every day?
I don't know. I don't wax my car. I have people for that.
All right. Let's get on to the topic, shall we? Fritz Haarmann, the butcher of Hanover. So from... Fritz Haarmann was a German serial killer in the early 20th century.
Yes.
From 1919 to 1924, Haarmann committed at least 24 murders and possibly many more. His victims were usually young male vagrants who hung around...
Male what?
Vagrants.
Okay.
Who hung around railroad stations. So
they doesn't say or Gandhi dancers.
It doesn't say they got on the trains. I think you have to get on the trains to be a hobo.
They were hobo apprentices.
Well, you know,
they
like
were hobo adjacent.
Yeah, hobo adjacent. Yeah.
I don't know. Like when you always have perverts hanging out at the Greyhound bus station when you're growing up. I'm thinking like this.
I have never been to a Greyhound bus station.
I don't know that at all.
Okay. Never mind.
Wait a minute. I want to know which side of that you're going to fall.
Tell us more, Timmy.
Never mind. Anyway.
The perverts just get there when Timmy shows up.
I'm thinking that he's picking up these guys at the railroad station. I don't think they were hobos. And he'd lure them back to his apartment, and then he would kill them. He called it his flat, actually. And he would kill them by biting through their throats in a kind of sexual frenzy.
That seems a bit much.
What he would do, he would be banging them from behind, and he would reach around,
That's not
neck.
The kind of reach around
just
you want
wait a minute.
When you
no, no,
bang
no, no.
from behind.
Let him finish.
No, okay.
Hold on,
okay,
let's see
so,
where it goes.
Because they would describe it. Okay, they would have sex, and he would anally rape them. And then he would...
So it was not consensual sex.
No. Well, maybe in some cases. But then he would bite their throat and kill them.
Were they in the missionary position?
No.
Are you sure?
I don't know for sure.
Because boys can do it that way.
Point well taken.
How much porn do you watch, Devin?
It's none of your business.
I'm just saying. I've never seen... I assumed
it was doggy style, but you may be right.
You should not assume.
I
assume he just bent him over something.
Okay. So anyway, now after he would kill them, he would slice them up and peddle their meat to the black market as pork.
Hence the term butcher.
Hence the term the butcher of Hanover. Yes. Didn't Sweeney Todd do that?
I did not see the musical, Timmy.
Did you see Sweeney Todd or the
Sweeney
movie?
Sweeney Todd, an actual person.
He was a barber.
I never saw any.
I think it's based on something.
I know. He was, yeah.
No, he was a barber. He killed him, and then...
I don't know what he did with him.
In the musical, anyway, he lived above a pie shop, and the woman made meat pies. Yeah. So, but anyway, so this kind of thing is what Haarmann did. He would peddle the meat of the boys that he'd killed.
He was a meat peddler.
And he had an accomplice.
Nothing worse.
He had an accomplice. His name was Hans Granz.
Yeah, Fritz right. and Hans?
They're here Fritz and Hans. Are they here to pump you up?
Now, Hans would only sell the clothing of the victims. He was a clothing peddler. And even though he would never be involved in the killings... he would always encourage Fritz to kill the handsome boys.
Jeez.
Kill the good ones. Kill the good ones.
Get the handsome
ones. He's cute. Bang him, kill him.
Yeah. So he just peddled their clothes. So they made kind of made their living by selling meat and the clothes of their victims. Now, Fritz Haarmann was born on October 25th, 1879, which, of course, Colonel, is close to...
Christmas.
Halloween. Yeah. He was the sixth child of poor parents. Fritz was quiet as a child, and he was shunned. He shunned many boy activities, such as sports, as he preferred to play with dolls. He was a poor scholar. At the age of 16, at the urging of his parents, he enrolled into a military academy. He initially adapted to the military lifestyle. You know, this is this is before World War I, I suppose, at the end of the century. He performed well as a training soldier, But just one year in the academy, he began to suffer seizures and was discharged for medical reasons. He returned to Hanover and took up employment in a cigar factory.
Was he a roller or a stuffer?
I don't know.
Sounds like a stuffer.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, but he worked in a cigar factory. Now, in 1898, which he would have been, what, 19 years old?
How old were you?
I wasn't born. I was not born in 1898. He was arrested for molesting children. A psychologist had declared him to be mentally unfit to stand trial, and he was sent to a mental institution indefinitely. And I'm sure it was a very progressive mental institution in 1898 in Germany.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, they're a tolerant people. Here's the thing. So he's of sound mind enough to go into the army.
And perform well.
But he can't go on trial.
Right. He was okay to making cigars, but he also was banging kids, apparently.
And you know, it's a funny thing. Your reaction. Now, you already have told us what he's done.
Yeah.
He used to bang young boys from behind and then rip their throats out like some kind of depraved vampire.
Yeah.
And but once you said he started molesting children, everybody's thinking, oh, what a piece of shit.
Well, I mean, I kind of thought that before.
But he took it to a new level when he was, molesting children. It's like you have your degrees of...
Yeah. To where people are okay with you killing adults, cutting them up, and selling their meat. Mm-hmm. But they,
But once you start molesting children or being mean to dogs...
Well, it's like the prison hierarchy.
I kind of agree with that, actually.
Oh, I enjoy a good prison hierarchy.
Yeah. So anyway, Harmon, 6 months he was in this mental institution. He was sent there indefinitely, but 6 months he escaped, and he fled to Switzerland.
Yeah.
I wonder if he wore shorts.
To Switzerland?
Yeah, and he yodeled, maybe.
Be chilly.
He worked there 2 years, and then finally he returned to Germany. He again enlisted in the military because he'd done so well the first time, but he did so under an alias. In 1902, he was again discharged under medical terms. I guess they didn't keep good records back then.
Yeah,
all these stories of the guys going in the army, getting back, getting discharged, and then re-upping in a different name. But he was afforded a full military pension. That was probably about 60 cents.
Yeah.
And he returned to live with his family. He took employment in a small business that his father had established. His father's name was Ollie.
Hey.
Ollie Harmon.
Ollie Harmon.
Ollie Oxen Free.
I always think of Lauren Hardy. Ollie, yeah. However, after he got in an argument with his father, Ollie, it led to a violent fight between them, and Fritz was arrested and charged with assault and was again sent for psychiatric evaluation. This time, the doctor could not diagnose Fritz as mentally unstable. A court discharged Fritz, and he again returned home to live with his family. So I guess, you know, he had this little disagreement with his father. He goes to, sends off for mental evaluation. He comes home. All's forgiven, apparently. But shortly thereafterwards, Fritz opened a small shop, but then his business went bankrupt. I don't know what kind of shop it was, but, you know, if it was... like cell phones, he probably didn't do a lot of business back then.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Data plans were shit.
Yeah, they weren't very good back then. You didn't have no coverage at all.
No.
So for the next decade, Fritz lived as a petty thief and a con man. He would break into homes and steal things and sell things. So he was like a thief and a fence.
He was like a thief, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, he wasn't like a thief. Yeah.
Yeah. He was frequently arrested and served several short prison sentences. He gradually began to establish a relationship with the Hanover police as an informer. You know what they say.
Oh, so he's a rat.
Oh, stitches get britches.
Yeah, absolutely.
Snitches get britches.
Oh, well, yeah. Something like that. He got britches, though.
He got pants.
He did get britches.
He got pants. Now, he became an informant to kind of get on the cops' good side so he could, redirect their attention so that he wasn't the focus of... Because, he was always stealing stuff. So he figured if he'd become a reliable source of information for the police, they would, kind of overlook his his petty crimes.
His misdeeds.
Yeah. In 1914, right when the war broke out, he was convicted of a series of thefts and frauds. He was fraudulent.
He was a fraudulent man.
And he got sent away to prison. Again, you know, why didn't they just send him to the Western Front?
I don't know. Because all's quiet there.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe they were afraid that he would, like, steal shit in the trenches. I don't know. I mean, you had all these guys.
Steal somebody's boots.
Yeah, he's going to this meat grinder, and they're sending this guy to prison. I think I'd sit out the war in German prison, although it probably wasn't a good place either. But so upon his release in 1918, he was struck by poverty, as the German nation as a whole was, because they suffered the loss of the Great War. The country was bankrupt. Fritz Haarmann immediately reverted to his criminal life that he had lived before he was arrested in 1914. The new state of Germany provided him with even more opportunities to operate on the fringes of the criminal network. So he was out there on the fringes of society.
He was a fringe player.
He was.
Huh.
And because of his increase in crime as a result of poverty, the nation was enduring, police began to rely on him as an informer. So he again is building this network up with the local police.
Well, and that's just a dick move. I mean, he's a rat. He needs to be dealt with.
He's a dirty rat.
He's a dirty rat.
You're a dirty, dirty rat.
Well, at this point, I guess he has. He's molested someone.
And how has nobody put together the fact that he's escaped? He escaped the mental institution.
I don't think they had, you know, like databases or anything. I don't think they...
Yeah, but you'd think that would have made the wire.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. You would think.
You would think.
I don't know if they had the wire. The wire
I mean, they had the World War they're dealing with, the Spanish...
Not the television show.
The Spanish...
Never mind.
They're dealing with the Spanish flu. They're dealing with, you know, war reparations. So probably, you know, keeping track of Fritz wasn't their top story.
I think you need to keep track of kitty diddlers. I think that's something we need to keep track of.
Well, yeah, but that was... He escaped. Yeah, okay, anyway. He escaped. That was... Yeah.
Plus, you had the Spanish fly epidemic of 1914.
Where you got everyone running around hoarding.
Everybody running around just, yeah.
That was in Greece.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So from 1918 to 1924, Haarmann committed at least, Okay. So Harmon's first known victim was a 17-year-old youth named Friedel Roth.
Oh, Friedel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes, that's what it says here.
F-O is his initials.
No, Friedel Roth. F-R is his initials. But that's close.
Well, I don't have egg on my face.
Well, when Roth... That's not even the worst thing you have on your face. When Roth disappeared on September 25th, 1918, his friends told police he was last seen with Fritz. Under pressure from Roth's family, police raided Harmon's apartment, where they were dismayed to find their informer in the company of a semi-naked teenage boy.
That'll raise a red flag.
Maybe. You never know.
Sound like
maybe it was hot.
His red flag.
Maybe
red.
Where is he meeting all these young men, Colonel?
Where is he meeting
them? Page.
On Backpage.
Or
Craigslist.
Or down at your local
Homo Depot.
Jackasses.
That's the train station.
That's what they called the train station, the Homo Depot.
I thought that's where you went. I thought that's where you went to go get day labor. Okay. So, you know, they find him in the company of this semi-naked boy. They had no choice. They had to charge him with sexual assault.
It was
right there in front of him.
He put him in the corner.
Well, yeah.
Painted him in the corner.
Exactly.
He kind of handcuffed him.
What does that mean? Does he have his shirt off?
Semi-naked?
He could have been sunbathing.
He could have just had his shirt off.
My guess is maybe he had his bottoms off.
He had his tallywhacker showing.
Face down, ass up. So, unbelievably, the rooms of Harmon's home were not searched. And upon interrogation 5 years later, because this is the only thing going on.
They got distracted by the boring king.
Well, but I mean, you know, well, there can't be anything else going on. We're right here in this room.
Yeah.
Look here.
Yeah, we got him on the sex charge.
So, you know, this raises an interesting question.
Oh.
That our listeners are wanting to know, because I asked it on the thing. Now, he was semi-nude.
Yeah.
Now, Devil, do you find when you're fornicating that you prefer to be completely nude or semi-nude?
So they charged Herman.
Now, this is an important question.
It's really not.
It really is, because
the listeners are demanding.
I don't think they are. I did not see that question anywhere.
I don't prefer. I don't like the whole nude thing.
I mean, when she said the way that she just automatically just flung out there, bottoms off, ass up in air. It was like
face down, ass up.
Face down, ass up. It was just like,
I think you should have at least an accessory on, a scarf, perhaps, or something.
Some gloves.
Gloves.
Some
are good.
Gloves. A mask.
Yeah.
A mask.
Gag.
Ball gag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chain.
Yeah. Are handcuffs considered jewelry?
In some circles.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So they weren't. So they the other rooms weren't searched because, you know.
Yeah, they stopped right there. They saw him. Okay, we got to arrest you. And then they forgot what they was there for.
I guess. But upon interrogation, 5 years later, Harmon confessed that the murdered boy's head was stuffed behind the stove, wrapped in newspaper.
They forgot to look behind the stove.
Probably staring at them.
How do you not? When the stove is a foot away from the wall, that should raise suspicion.
Well, also, if you see a head and wrapped in newspaper, it should raise it.
Yeah. Well, or a newspaper. Maybe they just thought it was one of those paper mache things.
Maybe.
I don't know.
What is that when you put the glue on the paper?
Yeah, paper mache.
Paper mache.
No, they call it some, or not origami.
Decoupage?
Decoupage. It was the decoupage head.
So,
my guess is they overlooked the head in the behind the stove, but...
Well, clearly
they didn't do a thorough search.
They did not, because that was the only room that they searched. So he served 9 months, and after he got out, he quickly reverted back to the lifestyle he'd led before.
That man, he doesn't seem to be open to rehabilitation.
He's not learning. Yeah, he's like my oldest child. He just doesn't learn shit. Again, he regained the trust of the police and became an informer. Come on. You know, and I know that there were smart people during this time. You had all these wonderful inventions, all these breakthroughs in, you know, criminology and, you know, science, technology, and then you have these dipshits. Now, there are police that are very smart.
Yeah.
Why is it that we are always talking about how stupid law enforcement is until the very last, all of a sudden, they put it all together? Like, they have multiple opportunities.
Think it's so, you know, it's so easy to miss.
They have multiple opportunities to stop somebody. And
well, certainly on the ones where victims come forward and say, hey, this guy's held me in his garage for the past 6 months.
No, he didn't.
Those are, you know.
And they got the cuff marks on them.
No, he didn't.
Those are situations. But I think a lot of times it's just, you know, it's easy to miss stuff.
It's like a he said, he said.
Yeah.
So, he's an informer now, and he became, his subsequent victims largely consisted of young male commuters from the rail station.
Oh.
Yeah.
They were commuters, girl.
Yeah. Well, they were at the train station. Runaways, and occasionally, just when he was feeling a little froggy, he'd pick him up a male prostitute.
Oh, Fred Garvin. Fred Garvin,
male prostitute.
That hung around the railway station. And then, well, and this is a good time, so Harmon would lure them back to his apartment and then kill them by biting through their throats while sodomizing them.
See? That's hard to do. That's not easy.
Look.
That's a skill.
It's really not that hard if you jerk the hair back.
This is all I'm saying. Yeah, but you gotta be limber and skinny. If you're gonna kind of pull somebody's head back, to get that vein, you almost have to come all the way around and bite.
Not if you jerk the hair back and get the head straight back.
It doesn't matter. You still have to come around and bite that.
And the thing is, it leaves a mark.
It does leave a mark. You have to wear a scarf over that for a long time. But I'm telling you, they're doing it missionary, and he just leans over and bites.
Well, you know, then I'm guessing they're completely nude at this point, because it'd be hard to sell the clothing.
Yeah, it really would.
Once you bite into a juggler, there's all kinds of mess that comes along.
Well, and I would actually think that these guys should become suspicious when he asked them to iron their clothes and fold them up and put them in the corner.
Yeah. Right. And then puts a price tag on them.
Yeah. I think that aroused his suspicion.
I wonder if he had one of those sticker guns.
He might have.
Yeah.
You know he did. A stamp. All right. So all of his victims were then dismembered. And then usually they were tossed into the river. Is that Lean?
Yeah.
The murders...
Which brings us to another question.
Lane, I think.
Lane?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a bite during sex, devil?
Bite what?
Anything. Are you a biter? Are you a biter?
Yeah, she's eating bonbons.
I'm asleep.
Yes.
I'm asleep. It's dangerous for me to bite things. My mouth guard.
Pop-Tarts.
That's out on your sleep guard.
I got my retainer in.
Yeah.
So, all right. So... But this story takes a dramatic turn in late 1919.
It's not taking a turn yet.
Yeah. For some bitch who just got bit in the neck, it was pretty goddamn dramatic.
Well, yeah. But
to him, that's the highlight of the story.
That was no small
but
matter.
But this takes a dramatic turn in late 1919 when Fritz meets a young Hans Granz.
Hans Granz.
At the Hanover Railway Station.
At Home Depot.
Eh.
We're going to get complaints.
And when he saw guys flirting with Hans, he would say, "Hands off Hans."
Yes, he would. Hans was a petty thief, and he'd run away from home. And he was now earning his living by selling old clothes at the station.
Oh, well, that's an honorable profession.
Yeah, but how many can you carry under your coat when you... What I got here?
No. I got flannel.
Yeah.
I got wool.
I got flannel? Yeah, exactly. I got a polyester blend here that'll knock your socks off. The young boy approached the openly, now evidently flaming Fritz...
With did they allow that? Just before Nazi this Germany, they'd have thrown a triangle on him and sent him to a camp.
Yeah,
well, so evidently now Fritz is just a flamer. And Hans approached him with the purpose of prostituting himself for money. So
I've done that
on occasion
myself.
Fritz needed a date.
You want to know if he needed a date?
Oh, yeah. For the night. Remarkably, a friendship soon developed.
Was it going to go to the symphony, or...?
Well, maybe. A friendship soon developed, which is where I know you meet most of your friends, is when they approach you.
Yeah.
But,
You do have a special bond with someone that you pay
for sex.
Yeah.
Well, Hans starts living with Fritz. And a bond of, and I'm air quoting here, madness and spiritual parasitism developed.
It sounds like they had quite the relationship.
Parasitism?
Sounds like I'd just say parasitic relationship.
Well, that's not what's written here.
He likes to make it hard on us.
I think he makes up words. The relationship was more than sexual.
It was more than sexual. There was some emotional attachment there.
Well, I don't know. I haven't got that far. It was more than sexual. And the insane ideas that surfaced in Harmon's conscience always involved his young housemate. Which, is he considered a protege?
Yeah, he's a protege.
An apprentice.
A muse.
He was an apprentice.
A muse.
He might be a muse. The guys he killed were
less than amused.
They were not amused at all.
So, having carefully avoided his jail sentence through 1919, Harmon served his penance from March until December of 1920. Granz thieved his way around Germany during this time, and upon a reunion at Christmas in 1920, there followed a period of uninterrupted bliss until August of 1921. That is quite the honeymoon period.
They had an 8-month period where they were just madly in love and everything was going right for them.
Well,
Hans and Fritz.
Do you think he gave him hickeys?
I think there were some hickeys.
I think Hans probably got a little nervous when he started nibbling on his dick.
I don't like that. Stop. Let's see.
No means no.
Yes. These two. No does mean no. The two thieves appeared as well-dressed, decent gentlemen and earned respect amongst the local people.
Oh, they were respected.
They were respected.
Mm-hmm.
Needless to say, however, the two men had more illicit intentions and plied their trade by begging or stealing laundry and selling it to the public. So they're stealing. They're stealing drillies.
Well, you know, people are hanging up their laundry in the backyard and to dry, and these guys are coming along and stealing them. Stealing the bloomers.
Yeah. In early 1922, the two men moved to number 8, New Strauss, in the heart of the so-called haunted area.
I didn't do a Google Earth on that, so I'm not...
You're not familiar?
Not familiar.
So Fritz was earning a good income. The thieving was accompanied by Social Security payments. So yeah. he's getting his check.
Yeah, he's getting his check from the
he's
military.
He's getting his check, yeah. Yeah. He had been declared an invalid and was unable to work.
Okay, so he probably got some sort of disability.
He was also relishing in his new role, as the police informer.
Right. Well, he's got a lot to be proud of. Or Fritz.
How much does that really pay, though? I mean, somebody wrote a song about that.
I think it's like he's...
Wasn't there a song informer?
He's like a nosy body, seems to me.
He is, a little bit.
A little bit like a nosy body. And I know Colonel... You know, we're talking about male prostitution. Mm-hmm. I know there was times when you've been paid by
I
women.
I was young.
I was young. And women visiting in town, coming in on business or whatever, you were paid to provide pleasure to...
I was paid to rock their world, Tim.
Yeah. So whenever, you know, someone from, like, Procter & Gamble had a big week, a lady coming in, you would...
Well, a lot of times it's when companies... You know, because we're in economic development and whatnot here, Timmy, and a lot of times companies are thinking about moving here. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of variables that go into their decision where they're going to move, and you're competing with Charlotte and, you know, other cities.
Yeah.
And what they would do is they would just send me in to deal with the ladies in the crowd.
The decision makers.
Oh, they never did that.
And
that did not ever happen.
The colonel would...
pleasure them.
Well, you know I'm a knight now, so the colonel would wield his mighty sword, and how do you think P&G came to Cincinnati?
So you're the one that landed that?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. You bet you didn't know that, Brandy.
Yeah.
Because it's not true. Huh. So.
Yeah, doubt it. Hate is going to hate.
Yeah.
Well, yes, I do. All right. So, let's see. In February of 1923... Harmon returned to his murderous past. The killer detained two Utes.
I just watched that over the weekend. My cousin Vinny.
Did you?
So funny.
At Hanover Station, on the pretense that he was an officer inspecting the waiting. He was in the FBI. Inspecting the waiting rooms.
Yeah.
The ugly one was sent away.
Did he flash a bag? The ugly one was sent away.
The ugly one was sent away, and Fritz Frank accompanied the phony officer home.
See, if an officer tells you, hey, I got to stop by the house.
We got to go by my house.
Yeah.
That's a clue.
Yeah.
Harmon later claimed that Granz had turned up unexpectedly whilst the corpse of Frank was still in the room.
So his friend shows up at this house while...
Well, the body's still warm.
Yeah.
Shot.
And dismayed.
Maybe. He simply stared at Harmon and said, when shall I come back again?
This is bad time.
Yeah.
My bad. There's not going to work for you.
My bad, dog. So, although Granz did not participate in the murders, he did encourage Fritz to seek handsome... victims.
Well, of course.
And Granz would later...
The ugly ones.
Yeah. Well, and Granz would later sell the clothes and their other personal effects.
Yeah.
Let's see.
You'd think he'd say get the good, well-dressed ones.
Right.
Not care what they look like.
I think, he was, like, living vicariously through his friend.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Activities, I think.
The murders now gained pace, and in the following 9 months, 12 more young men's lives were taken. In almost every scenario, the victim was met at the train station, offered accommodations or work, and they were apprehended on the pretense that his abductor was a police officer.
Hmm.
I see a pattern.
This guise was used so often that on one occasion, after a youth welfare worker had asked the guard as to whether Harriman was employed in the same capacity, the station official replied, no, he's a detective. So he's a higher pay grade.
Yeah, so he's fooling even the people who work there.
Once in the Neustrauss room, the boy would be killed, according to Harmon, by biting through his windpipe, which is up here.
Ooh, that's even tougher. So they must have been a missionary.
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing.
To get to the windpipe.
Either that or he is a gooseneck.
No, because you got to get some downward leverage on that. You can't just be reaching around and trying to tear.
Yeah,
you
that's
gotta,
crazy.
So you're thinking they're doing it?
Because you got to bite like three times to get somebody's windpipe. You got to tear the skin away, then get to the windpipe, and then bite into it.
Yeah, you make a good point, Colonel.
Yeah,
that's why you're.
It's not easy. You can't just.
That's why you're recognized near and far.
The Israelis taught me that.
Oh, okay. Continue, Brandy.
Go ahead.
You two are fucking ridiculous. All right, so, always with a view to his commercial instincts, the body would be dismembered and the clothes and meat sold through the usual channels for smuggled goods. The useless portions were thrown into the river. What did you say it was? Lean?
Yeah.
Lean, such as the penis.
Lean, I think.
But once the food went into the river, it became the river lean cuisine.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
I think they pitched the penis and the brain straight into the river because those are the most useless things.
Well, yeah.
And sold the rest of the meat as bacon. 1 year later, when the items confiscated from the killer were on public display, victims' families discovered a wealth of personal artifacts.
Hmm.
Many kept as souvenirs, and the remainder sold through Harmon's
eBay account.
Impressive distribution network, which was close to eBay.
Yeah, it was a forerunner of eBay.
On each occasion, there was normally an array of witnesses who had seen Harmon, and often Granz, approach and leave with the victim. Such was the respect that the two men had now earned for themselves. No incident was ever reported.
That's weird. So they thought, the people at the train station that worked there thought he was actually a cop.
Yeah, that he was a guy, yeah. On one such circumstance, Harmon even had the audacity to reply to an announcement in the paper offering a reward for information.
he's trying
to be a helper.
Well, he's a giver.
He appeared at the family door under the guise of a criminologist, yet was said to have spent most of his time laughing hysterically. The murders continued unabated throughout early 1924. Harmon honing his remarkable knack of spotting disillusioned young runaways at the station and then removing them casually into the night.
You know, the one thing that is common with all these stories is these guys pick on the vulnerable people.
I know.
The runaways.
Well, because they're not vulnerable.
They start picking on
millennials.
Yeah.
I mean, you go pick on somebody that's just going to his job as a policeman and try to rape him and steal his clothes, he's going to shoot you.
Yes. Yeah. Due to the nature of the victims, angry or estranged parents and friends often took a while to even report the disappearance. By then, the clothing and the meat of the victims had been speedily distributed around Hanover.
By then, they were a ham sandwich.
And were practically untraceable.
Yeah.
Without that sort of hard evidence, the police were at a virtual dead end, although there were some particularly close calls. On one such an occasion, a portion of the trader's meat was taken to police because the buyer thought it was human flesh. The police analysis unequivocally pronounced it pork. Dumb bastards, that's pork.
Did they send that to the lab, or they just... Yeah, it looks like pork to me.
Here's my question, though. Like, when you buy this, first of all, why are you buying meat out of a railway station? That's one.
You're right.
But
right.
Two.
And clothes.
What makes you look at a piece of meat and go, that's a human. That's a person. Yeah. That's a person.
That looks like
ham. Yeah, no, but that looks like a person. Like, why are you even taking it to the police station?
Well, it raised some questions, and they took it to the police station. And
the police station said, no, it's pork. He went home and had a fat pack sandwich.
The chances are, if someone brings up you a slab of meat, chances are
it's human.
Chances are it's pork. So they were playing the odds, I think. But I don't think they did any deep. They didn't.
Well, I think his slogan was "Young boy, the other white meat."
Yeah, I wonder if it's like veal.
I wonder if he had milk-fed boys.
I don't know. Let's see, the disappearance of Eric DeVries, on the 14th of June in 1924 signaled the end of the killer's reign. In classic fashion, it was an offer of cigarettes at Hanover Station that tempted the young lad to join the friendly stranger in his room.
Come on, smoke in my apartment.
It's estimated at this time that the fugitive had murdered around 27 boys in less than 16 months.
That's pretty good pace,
right? About 2 months.
Yeah.
Despite the enormous manhunt now in operation, the killer had still not been apprehended, and Hanover was at the point of public outcry. You could hear everybody crying.
They were outraged at this. They were sending their thoughts and prayers on Facebook.
They were panicked.
Thank God.
Yeah.
By late June of 1924, sheer terror had gripped the city, and the werewolf was still on the loose.
Ooh.
What happened next, Charles?
But not the werewolf of life.
Well, although the panic engulfed Hanover, Fritz was still a suspect. He remained a definite suspect in this. Mm-hmm. Of course, so was every other local sex offender. And he was investigated quite a bit.
A meat peddler.
And the press was given announcements, and they gave details of his skulls in hope of obtaining clues from the general public. The quantity of skulls and corpses being discovered was generating a nationwide furor. Hmm.
Mind furor?
Yeah, a nationwide furor.
Yeah.
And a general lack of confidence in the German police force.
Well, they can't tell pork from human meat.
And I think it's because
that's a problem.
They had Sergeant Schultz investigating this.
Clearly.
Yeah. I know.
They need to spend a little bit more on their resources for the crime lab, I think.
They didn't. That's before they had
the CSI.
Yeah.
All right. CSI Hanover. Is it meat or is it a human? Is it pork or is it a man?
I guess that's before they had the FDA, too.
Yeah.
So, anyway, now the pressure's mounting.
Probably what they did when they brought it in. They probably just stamped that FDA.
FDA approved. Don't. But anyway, the pressure's mounting here, and the following course of action was agreed upon. As Harmon had already knew the town officials, two young policemen would arrive from Berlin at Hanover train station, pretending to be homeless and looking for a place to stay.
Hmm.
They would then focus on the suspect's activities and hope to catch him in the act.
That's rather sneaky.
Now, I wonder how far they were willing
Sounds
to go
like
with this.
I don't.
Now,
I don't
you
think
got
they should,
you can't arrest
they didn't
him
share that
until
with their,
he's got
informer.
Right.
We can't. Now we can't arrest him until he gets the tip in. Okay.
Got to see the whites of his eyes.
You got to take one for the team.
Yeah. So you got
to. Oh,
jeez. Yeah. Try not to just be a man about it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. Once again, however, the killer's incredible good luck conspired against the police as Fritz was found arguing with a 15-year-old, Carl Fromm, a boy who had spent several days at Harmon's apartment. Fromm was particularly stubborn this evening and amazingly,
alive.
Fritz had the audacity to report him to the railway police, claiming that he had false papers.
So he's banging some 15-year-old, and then he's pissed at him,
he's
so he turns him to the police.
However,
he's a dick.
Once at the police station, Fromm turned the tables on the old guy, saying he sexually harassed him during his stay. Now, coincidentally, a number of Vice Squad...
He wanted to wang.
They were at the station at the time. Mm. And they were hoping to arrest Harmon, and an officer decided to apprehend the suspect immediately. Before any unnecessary suspicions could be aroused,
Hama was taken aroused. To prison on the morning of June 23rd.
Because the last thing you want to do is
arouse that son of a bitch. Yeah. Now, he claimed that he had only arranged to have Frome taken into custody because he knew that he was going to murder the boy and was afraid that he would not be able to resist the urge for much longer.
Well, good.
Yeah, now, probably a good call there.
If this statement is to believe, here was the first time that Harmon's actions were motivated by any moral scruples, and these alleged feelings of guilt were to prove to be his downfall.
Yeah, so he says they caught him. He let them catch him because he didn't want to hurt the young man.
But I want you to think about this. One time in the man's life, Timmy, mm-hmm. he had some moral scruples. Who does that make him better than?
You.
The devil.
Yeah, true.
The devil. Have you ever had an instance of moral scruples?
What's that?
There we go.
At least you have one.
So, have you looked into my $14.99 a month soul saving?
No, Dr. Phil, I haven't.
Okay, well.
It's really worth it.
Yeah. Timmy signed up.
Are you saved, Timmy?
Yeah.
Timmy, yeah.
I'm going to heaven.
Timmy going to heaven? Yeah. Mm. We got all kinds of people. Probably, I say, half the podcast has signed up.
Yeah.
If you're on that other half of the podcast that haven't signed up, you know, I'm just trying to save you from burning in hell for all eternity.
Eternal damnation.
And eternal damnation.
Only sets you back $14.95.
Did you say internal or eternal?
Both.
Internal. Internal damnation. Well, now, this case was not as clear-cut as you would think. Several hundred items of clothing found in Harmon's room or confiscated from his acquaintances were collected and identified as the property of the missing children. But there was no evidence to declare that he'd been responsible for even one of the deaths. Harmon just said it wasn't his. Due to his business. Yeah, it wasn't me. So he admitted to having sexual relations with some of the children, yet denied any knowledge of the victim's current whereabouts, and gave pretty plausible explanations for the traces of blood in the garments. So he had a considerable skill at avoiding taxing questions and prolonging the inquisition. He was an astute man and understanding the rather secretive nature of homosexuality.
The homosexual.
At the time. Subsequently, he knew it would be difficult for police to obtain incriminating evidence from his peers and victims and their families. One of these victims was a boy named Robert Witzel, whose parents had continually besieged the police since their son's disappearance. When the first skulls were found later that year, Mr. Witzel was persuaded to examine evidence in order to confirm that his son's irregular jawbone was the one discovered.
What happened? What was wrong with his jawbone?
I wonder if he was a football head.
Maybe.
I don't know, but it would be what would be your jaw? What would be how could you have a distinguished jawbone?
Maybe they had TMJ and it was just a bad scene.
Hmm. Yeah. So anyway, the breakthrough came when
overbite, maybe.
Well, that would have to be a hell of a Freddie Mercury type overbite if you have. So anyway, the breakthrough came through when a couple walked into the police station and passed the Witzel family, who sat outside the chief commissioner's office. Frau Witzel immediately recognized the man's jacket and asked where he obtained said jacket. The man said he'd acquired the coat from Harmon and even provided an identification card in the trousers bearing the name Witzel.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, he had the guy's card.
So she sees some clothing that he sold of the victim.
Yeah.
On a string.
The Witzel's parents are walking into the thing and they see this guy sitting there and they're like, "Where you get those clothes?" And he's like, "Oh, I got them from Harmon."
And here's his card.
He had this card in the pocket, so that was bad news for him. So anyway, the lady accompanying Frau Engel, Harmon's landlady, who happened to be in the police station making inquiries concerning her tenant's military pension. So he's almost like just nailed to the wall right here.
Shit's coming down. There's a shitstorm.
An enormous stroke of luck, in addition to the fabric evidence, and more importantly, one which finally convinced Harmon to concede defeat. The prisoner was consequently subjected to incessant and severe
rapings.
Questioning, beatings, and rapings.
Not rapings.
they raped him. They raped him a couple times.
He didn't call no rapesies.
He did not. And that's when the police,
First of all, you have a right, if you get questioned by police, to not talk. But if you're going to talk, the first thing you got to say is no rapesies. No rapesies.
Is that part of the Miranda rights?
I want a lawyer. No rapesies.
That's part of the Miranda rights?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
So.
Well, because you didn't pass the bar.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was.
Take the bar.
He got the incessant and severe questioning. Before being given relief and encouragement with the unburdening of his conscience. After 7 days of maniacal and emotional raises, Harmon broke down and asked for the superintendent and examining magistrate, to whom he would make a full confession.
They broke him.
The killer then took the court officials on a murder tour of Hanover. There were shown parts of corpses hidden in bushes, bones dredged from the lake, and skeletons concealed around the city. More and more people stepped forward who had either obtained clothing or meat.
I think if you obtain the meat, though, I think you have to really sit back and evaluate yourself first.
I don't think if you bought a pair of trousers, that might not be too bad. But if you bought, you know, a side of beef.
If you bought fat back, you really need to examine yourself.
Those ribs, how am I supposed to tell that was it? They look like ribs to me.
Well,
police told me it was pork.
Jaw bacon. Got jaw bacon. I'm just saying you really have to evaluate that because that's one of those things like, you know, you suck one dick.
Oh, yeah. You're a cannibal.
Yeah.
You're a cannibal. You know, they should have been tattooed and branded.
You eat one human foot.
Yeah. You're a cannibal.
You're in it. You're branded for life.
Now, Harmon's character also changed during this period.
That's curious.
He now opened up to the investigating authorities and displayed the helpful, childish, and often sarcastic side to his nature. Only
He's
if
playful.
Confronted by the parents of his victims or if discussing the act of decapitation would the killer become withdrawn. He did not like cutting the heads off.
It's a lot of work.
He liked the anal rape and the biting of the throat, but he did not like cutting off the heads.
It is a lot of work.
It's a lot.
I mean, you think it's easier than what it is.
It is not.
Now,
but you really get a sense of accomplishment when you tear off that last piece of...
Oh, when you've gone through the spine with a hacksaw? Oh, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
You don't have to use a hacksaw on the spine. You go between the vertebrae and just cut the gristle.
Still need a hacksaw.
Sharp knife will do
You don't know shit from apple
sharp
butter,
knife
I'm
do
just
it.
Telling you.
Yeah, you need to talk to the Israelis. They'll take show you a thing or two.
I don't... What? You can't even spell Israeli.
The Israelis.
Starts with an I.
Yeah, starts with an I. It's a little nation. Anyway, as a result of the information secured, Hans Granz was arrested on the 8th of July, and the two men met on several occasions before their trials began.
Now, see, I feel bad, a little bad for Hans. He didn't kill anybody.
Hans was in on it.
He was selling the clothes.
Nah, I bet Hans snuck in one every now and again. Like, bend him over, before you bite that throat, bend him over, hold him now. So anyway, at these times, Harmon was always troubled, whereas Granz appeared indifferent to the entire affair. Harmon remained in prison before being sent to nearby Göttingen for a psychiatric evaluation. The trial, unprecedented in German judicial history, contained 60 volumes of files and opened on December 4th, 1924. The trial was conducted in Hanover and lasted 14 days, had a ton of witnesses, 200 of them, and a much publicized opening decree stated that he was accused of killing 27 persons intentionally and deliberately. Harmon insisted on conducting his own defense.
That was probably a good move.
Yeah. Well, he was a very smart man, this one.
Yeah.
And remained entirely nonchalant throughout the trial. At one point complaining that there were too many women in the courtroom. Now, I can see that.
Yeah.
Because, you know...
That objection should have been sustained.
It should have been because there's a certain... I don't want to get too indelicate on the show, Timmy.
Okay. Because you never do.
Yeah, but you have... Now, think about this. This is 1924.
Yeah.
Okay? You got a packed courtroom. You got these women wearing all these layers of clothing.
With their vaginas.
With vaginas. And what's...
Because we have established that the one thing that... What's one thing that women have?
Vaginas. Until they're 40, and then they get penises, too. But So anyway, you in a hot, sweaty room with a bunch of sweaty vaginas.
Right. Nothing worse than a
sweaty vagina. How are you going to concentrate on your defense?
It's hard.
You know, every cat in the neighborhood lined up at the window like, man, they think it's a fish market. Man, man, let me in. So,
what the fuck is wrong with you?
You may have taken it too far this time.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm just saying it could have been a legitimate complaint. Maybe, because that's back before they had the Massengale
thing. I think Team Colonel just got a little smaller.
Yeah, you know what? They could have been lined up for the sausage fest that he would have much rather had.
Well, he prefers sausages, Colonel.
She's he did.
Yeah, but he objected to having too many women in the courtroom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're talking about delicate matters, and he probably didn't want to offend any of them.
Or they had all kinds of boob sweat coming off of them.
I mean, that as well.
The smell offended him.
Maybe.
So, anyway, he insisted on conducting his own defense and remained entirely nonchalant. At one stage, he demanded indignantly, why there were so many women in the court, and the judge answered apologetically that he had no power to keep them out.
I'm telling you.
I can't keep them out, son. I'd like to. I'd like to get them out of here, but I don't have the power.
Preaching to
it.
The choir.
Yeah, he's like, son, I know what you're saying. I don't want to look at them either. But I can't let them out. It's like tear gas in here, but I cannot kick these women out.
God.
So Harmon asked to be allowed to smoke a cigar, just to offset. It was like his little version of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Permission was immediately granted. Okay.
Well,
now,
that's fair.
Nonetheless, the murderer's naive combination of fiction and fact was generally agreed as refreshing in contrast to the legal speak of the jurist and the confused hypocrisy of the authorities. To the journalist, he once said, "You are not to lie. We know you are all liars."
Hmm.
And to the jury, "Keep it short. I want to spend Christmas in heaven with my mother."
So he's kind of like ready to... He's okay with the idea of
getting
convicted. Okay.
So jury branded him as the more dangerous. And now, in contrast, Granz, accused in the two cases of instigating murder, appeared as tough and unbreakable. So the jury subsequently branded him, Granz, Hans Granz, as the more dangerous, yet the more innocent of the two.
Huh.
Granz was entirely focused on self-preservation, and he wanted that was an attitude that was to prove his downfall as Harmon became concentrated on his devilish desire for revenge. To take the one he loved most with him to the Dark Land. To the Dark Land, or as Brandy would call it, the Motherland, but...
Home.
Home, yeah. So, hence... you decided to put a hint in there?
Is that legal? I thought that would get a little bit of drama. Add a little bit of drama.
Hence...
Yeah.
Fritz formed incredible and completely inaccurate accusations of murder against his partner that the court wholeheartedly believed.
Hmm.
Once he had achieved this aim of not going to death alone, Harmon quieted down to let Granz do the talking. Granz is like, "What the fuck? I never intended to hurt those youngsters.
Yeah,
but I knew that This Harmon, when he explained his murder method.
Mm-hmm.
"I never intended to hurt those youngsters, but I knew that if I got going, something would happen that made me cry. I would throw myself on top of these boys and bite through the Adam's apple, throttling them at the same time." He explained that he often felt guilt so bad he could not look at the dead body.
Well, I don't blame
him. Then he'd get back to cutting up the body. And he said, "I'd make two cuts in the abdomen, put the intestines in a bucket, and soak up the blood and crush the bones until the shoulders broke, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Then I could get the heart, lungs, and kidneys and chop them up and put them in a bucket.
Sure.
I'd take the flesh off the bones and put them in a wax cloth bag. It would take me 5 or 6 trips to take everything. He was going for sympathy here.
Mm-hmm.
It would take me 5 or 6 trips to take everything and throw it down the toilet or into the river.
It was such a hassle.
You know? I always hated doing this, but I couldn't help it. The skulls were smashed to pieces and thrown in the river. Now, there were some boys he denied killing. Now, he's pretty open about who he killed. But he denied killing Herman Wolf, whose photograph showed an ugly, ill-dressed youth. Harmon declared the boy was too ugly to have interested him.
Hmm.
Now, the killer repeatedly...
Yeah, taste.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he can be picky.
Yeah.
He claimed that he was driven by beauty and sensuality, not the cynical interpretation of sex or profit. In his eyes, it was easier to kill someone you love. That way, you brought them peace.
He's got a point.
Yeah. How many times you been in a meeting here and thought...
I just wish someone would bite through my jugular.
Yeah, if someone really loved me, they would kill me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Harmon requested on December 19th, 1924... He received 24 death sentences, and Granz, 1 death sentence.
And really, 1's enough.
Well, yeah, it seems like when you get in a death sentence, once you get past that first one,
yeah,
you know, back in Germany in that day. Now, Hans requested to be beheaded in public. Granz requested to get some head in public. That request was denied.
Pricks.
Harmon also requested what was to be written on his tombstone. Here lies mass murderer Harmon. The court acceded to neither request, and Harmon was duly decapitated within the walls of Hanover Prison. Granz's appeal was rejected, and death sentence pronounced correct and final. Yet the story contains 1 final twist.
What is it?
Well, I'm going to tell you, Timmy.
Okay.
Can you?
A Hanover messenger named Ludus found a letter addressed to Albert Granz, the father of the man sentenced to death, lying on the street.
Hmm.
He made sure the letter was passed on to the correct person, who in turn passed it on to the court. The note was a 4-page confession from Franz Harmon, written whilst being taken by car to the police station. The letter summarized his relationship with Granz, and most importantly, professed the innocence of the younger man.
So Fritz wrote a letter basically saying he did it all and Hans had nothing to do with it.
Hans Granz has been sentenced unjustly, and that's the fault of the police, and also because I wanted revenge.
Oh, goodness.
Put yourself in Granz's position. He will question the existence of the Lord and justice just because of me. My Hans Granz, forgive me for my revenge and my humanity.
Well, that's a shame. So Hans, he was sentenced to death. Both of them were sentenced to death, and Hans was put to death even though he was innocent.
Yeah, now the exact intention of this letter had never been fully understood. Was he truly troubled by his conscience, or was this a devious attempt on his part to delay his own execution? It's now common view of experts that the verdict of the Hanover Court is an unsatisfactory one, in the sense that Harmon was undoubtedly put under pressure by certain authorities throughout the trial, and most of that pressure was put on his anus by a nightstick.
That's not true.
Seems fair.
Well, yeah. It is most probably the case that a neglected and innocent young man has been sentenced to death solely as a result of statements made by a man pronounced mentally ill by 5 different psychiatrists. In that sense, a judicial murder was committed. Like his other victims, Franz Harmon killed the one he loved, this time using the German legal system as his weapon. After the 2 men's deaths, another letter from Harmon was found, this one explaining his actions purely as an attempt to take revenge against the police. The statement concludes...
He was trying to screw everyone over.
And he was Michael Myers. The statement says,
"Oh goodness,
you won't kill me. I'll be back. Yes, I shall be amongst you for all eternity. And now you yourselves have also killed. You should know it. Hans Granz was innocent. Well, how's your conscience now?" And that's what I'm going to ask all of you. That's the end of the story, but I'm going to ask all of you listeners, how's your conscience now? Because if it ain't clean for $14.99 a month, you can get it clean.
That was $14.95.
$14.95 a month.
He can't make up his mind.
You can get it cleansed at where, Timmy?
At Reverend?
The First Church of the Latter-day Colonel.
I can't keep up
with we accept
bullshit.
PayPal.
It's hurt.
We accept. So this man.
Will you accept Social Security checks?
We will take Social Security checks.
How about
we will
some
take
beef?
Deeds to your hide.
How about some pork?
Some pork.
Can I trade in my food stamps?
Yeah, and had this man, Hans, had his final letter before he got decapitated by the police been to me with a check enclosed for $14.95, he'd be in heaven right this minute.
Hmm.
His soul would have been absolved, and he'd be in heaven.
Hmm. It's a small price to pay.
Yeah, for him, it would have been.
So, Brandy, what's your final thoughts on Fritz Harman and Hans Granz, the Hanover butcher?
Not a fan.
What do you think about young Hans, though?
Young Hans is stupid.
I feel bad that he was executed because he didn't.
I don't.
Oh, I don't feel bad he was executed. He was a clothing thief, Timmy. And they know
there's
nothing
worse than a clothing thief.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad about that. And he knew. He knew what was going
well,
on.
Well, he walked in at an inopportune time. He asked if he could come back.
Well, he was trying to be considerate. Can you fix your glasses? Because it's tripping me out.
Okay.
Continue. Nope. They should have killed him. But first of all, if you're going to sell human meat, you have to label it that way. Otherwise, it's just false advertising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a scammer, really.
He really was.
Colonel, what's your final thoughts on Fritz Harman, the Hanover butcher?
Bait and switch.
It was a bait and switch. And Timmy, he was a sodomite, which is okay.
It's okay.
Unless you're a forceful sodomite.
Oh.
Or a kitty diddler sodomite.
Or a kitty diddler sodomite. I don't approve of any of that. I don't approve of it.
And where, if you want to commit sodomy, where should you go?
Evidently Stanford.
To the Home Depot. And some of you might be offended by this, but here's where the colonel gets... You can't be offended because the colonel has two gay children.
50%.
50%.
He always uses that. You know,
everybody died. I know.
To make inappropriate jokes.
Hmm.
Timmy, you can't because you don't have any gay children.
I don't have any gay children.
I have gay children.
I don't know.
You don't.
So I don't know.
The colonel has, if you look right here in my wallet, Timmy, I got the card.
You got a car?
You know what? Mm-hmm. I thought you got a toaster for that.
No, I got a car.
If one more of them turns, you get a car.
Yep.
But I thought it was a toaster.
We can say anything I want without being labeled as inappropriate or homophobic.
We love our gay lesbian.
You know what? And I want to briefly just make a shout out to, and I doubt if anybody listens to us there, but Orlando's had a rough week. And for all of those people there that are struggling, just know that as a people, we stand behind you.
You know, it's very and to be more serious about it, you know, Tanner he's in Chicago. He goes to clubs a lot, and strangely, his twin brother Taylor, you know, was one. Taylor spends a lot of time in gay clubs, although he is not gay.
Because that's where you meet women.
That's exactly what he said. Dad, if you can dance and you will get out and dance, that's where you meet women. But and he said, you know, it's terrifying to think that somebody would just target a population because of that. You know what
it's
I mean?
Disgusting.
That could have
really
been.
Is.
And he said when you think about a city like Chicago, you know there are those kind of lunatics there.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, it happened in Orlando, but you know the same lunatics are in Chicago. You know the same lunatics are in New York. You know the same people that hate for no reason, but think they're right and they're convinced they're right. They're in every city. And I don't know what you do about that. I got no answers to that. But it is very, I can't imagine how disturbing it is if you're part of that population.
Well,
you know, because you're already putting up with enough shit. Yeah, that's what I mean. Because this was Hispanic night, you know, I mean, was he targeting Hispanics? Was he targeting? Because he thought about Disneyland. You know,
well,
I mean,
it's
scary to think that there's so many damn lunatics out there, and there's so many But, you know, you go about your life and you do the best you can. If you try that shit around the colonel, I'm going to shoot you.
Well, and that's I think, the best thing that you can do is just move forward and don't stop living your life just because,
well,
you have these lunatics.
I'll tell you a funny, I got a funny tweet I told Tanner.
Okay.
Or a funny text I told Tanner. I was like, what are you doing tonight? And he was going, he said, I'm going down to this club, and I don't know what the name of it is in Chicago, but it's a gay club.
All right.
And I said, well, you know, have fun. And are you having, is it a vigil or, you know, something like that? Because it was right after. He said, oh, no. He's like, we're going down. He said, it's Tony night. He said, I don't.
Yeah, it's Tony
night. He's like, if you think you're going to keep the gays out of the club on Tony night, ain't no shooter going to keep scared of gays away from the club on Tony night.
No. Yeah, so, they don't.
Yeah, so he, but, you know, it's something that sticks with you in the back of your mind. But you always, you have to just get up every day and know that, you know, you get by. I mean, look at kid walking down the damn beach and an alligator grabs him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a horrible things
Orlando's
happen every day.
Had a rough week.
That's why I lock myself in my apartment. Brandy, where can people find us?
I take it Timmy is done talking on this topic.
No, we can talk about it all you want. I'm just
You can find us on Facebook, and you can find our podcast group on Facebook.
We have two Facebook pages.
We do.
The first one is called
History Dweebs,
And the group is called
History Dweebs the Podcast.
Yes.
You can find us on iTunes, And you can find us on Stitcher and Libsyn and Twitter.
And leave us a review.
And leave us a review in any of those places.
And we will be performing at the Grammys.
And we appreciate the donations that have been made. And again, if you want to make any donations, because we do have to do some equipment upgrades and some things like that to continue to bring you the quality entertainment that you clearly have become used to. You can go to, what's it called, Patreon?
Patreon, and just
Patreon
/ History Dweebs
page, and donate, because I really don't want to charge for these podcasts, because I don't think anybody would actually buy them.
And plus,
we're popular.
iTunes won't
we're
let
free.
You charge 10 cents a podcast.
Well, and plus,
and if
Colonel,
you
get, if you
if you're going to spend your money, spend it on your soul.
Exactly. And how do they do that, Colonel?
$14.99. Go to
$95.
$14.95. Well, someone I got to charge extra.
Ugh.
I mean, there's some people that need to force it.
Brittany
Chacon?
Yeah.
Yeah, she got the 2-for-1 and used both on herself.
So thank you very much,
yes,
everybody,
thank you for
that's
those
already
sports.
Donated.
And with that, we're going to let you go, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
Good day.
Good night.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.